Let's pray.
No, Lord Jesus, how good it is to be ruled by you, but how good it is to be under your sovereign lordship. May we know more and more to trust you in all the paths that you lead us and all things that you have prepared for us for your glory's sake and for our ultimate joy. Lord, ever deepening and abounding joy. May that be our hope, O Lord, to be in that presence, gathered to you as your people and as your bride. And Lord, we know that you are good in what you have done on the cross. Lord, we have seen such depth of mercy and grace. And so we can have a sure hope on what you have promised, what is beyond what we can comprehend. Oh, Lord God, as we look to your word today, may we be ever more molded to the image of that Son, in submission to him, surrender to him, joyful, willing submission and surrender to him. And in that, to be molded according to him, to be conformed to him, to be his body. Help us, O Lord, feed our souls and our hearts. And we thank you, O Lord, for you are so gracious to us. In Jesus' name we pray. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about marriage, the proper roles for the husband and wife, the wife to submit to the husband because she submits to Christ, and the husband to lead his wife by loving her, denying himself for her holiness, for her faithfulness to Christ. And we looked at how Christ was the example in this marriage relationship, who gave himself for the sake of the church. The husband shows his submission to Christ by following Christ's example, dying to himself and considering the needs of his wife first. So we see submission as an essential part of marriage. That's what we saw. But the husband and wife are mainly submitting to Christ, but that expression is different. Right? The wife submitting to the husband and the husband submitting to Christ by considering the needs of the wife first. And as we saw in Ephesians 5:21, this submission is commanded for all Christians. Actually, that verse, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, is kind of the heading for everything that we've been looking at, marriage and today for children and their parents. Part of what it means to be Christian is having a proper attitude of submission to those whom Christ has put above us. Now, when I used to read Ephesians 5:21, I thought it meant that Christians were meant to be mutually submitted to one another. Right? Submission kind of meaning be humble in a general way. Don't consider yourself first. Think of the needs of others first. I thought that's kind of what Paul was talking about. But through biblical scholars just kind of studying this, through other pastors, I realized that that's not what Paul means. Because again, as I mentioned, right after this verse, he gives very explicit examples where submission is one way and authority goes the other way. It's not mutual. And so the first example we saw, marriage, and now today, the relationship between children and parents. Paul doesn't have in mind a mutual submission where each is supposed to submit to each other. Parents are not supposed to submit to their children. Husbands are not supposed to submit to their wives. But parents and husbands are meant to use the authority that God has given them with love that considers the needs of those under their authority first. So submission goes one way, authority goes the other, but all out of reverence for Christ, right? All acknowledging Christ as the one we all, under whom we all submit. Now in our passage today, Paul is writing to children. And the word for children can refer to young children, elementary, 7 years old, all the way to adult, middle-aged children. It's basically just a general term referring to anyone who has parents or who's still alive, anyone who has parents still alive. Now, in this passage, Paul here is probably referring to children who are still young, who are still dependent on their parents, Because in verse 4, Paul tells the fathers to bring them up, raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, you know, it has this implication that the children are still growing up. They're not independent adults. So what does it mean for young children to obey their parents? Basically, you do what your parents tell you to do, right? Because when we're young, we don't have a strong, clear grasp of what's good for us. We don't have wisdom, properly developed understanding of right and wrong. So part of that, we depend on our parents to do that for us. We depend on our parents to teach these things for us, to choose for us what is good and right. And again, as we looked at how wives submit to the husband as an extension of the authority of God, parents are also meant to be an extension of the authority of God to young children. Again, by teaching them, choosing for them what is good and right. And the result of obeying their parents is a promise, as Paul points out in verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is a promise that's going back to the Ten Commandments. Honor your parents, or your fathers and your mothers, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land in Deuteronomy. God blesses children who obey in the Lord, meaning, you know, who obey in faith, because obedience to parents is an expression of trust and submission to God. And obedience to godly parents will teach children about God and what it means to live by faith. So this reminded me of Adam and Eve. And I was thinking about it, like, they're such like children. They're naked and we're not ashamed. You know, like children, like toddlers running around butt naked, laughing, enjoying this creation. They are not ashamed. And the way you teach and protect children, God didn't give them a very thorough explanation of why you should obey me, or give a thorough, complicated covenant with many clauses and stipulations. It was very simple. Right? You shall surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Right? It's a simple command. Eat, eat, enjoy, but don't eat this. It's bad for you. Right? It wasn't God's intention to keep them ignorant and simple or without wisdom, but I think God was going to teach them. That was God's intention. I will teach you what it means to be like me, because I made you in my image. Right? I'm going to teach you what it means to rule this creation that I've given you for you to enjoy. It's like the way we teach children how to read. You teach them the alphabet. You teach them to sound words out. Cat. You teach them to read sentences, verbs, nouns. There's something really beautiful about that. You know, you teach children and the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing when you do it faithfully, or when you're trying to do it faithfully, because, you know, sin is never perfect. And it's such a beautiful thing. God the Father teaching his children, Adam and Eve, his ways. And this is what we're seeing, this reflection in parents and children. But instead of submitting to God's teaching plan, Adam and Eve wanted the knowledge of good and evil for themselves, referring to all kinds of knowledge. I don't think it means the, you know, the sum of all knowledge, like immediately they understood equals MC squared, but enough for them to be independent from God, to become adults beforehand or before God's original intention, without relying on him to teach and provide. So when young children obey their parents in the Lord, they're submitting to God. When young children learn from their parents, assuming that they're faithful, you know, understanding that they're faithful. When young children learn from their parents, who are themselves are believers, they're being dependent on God instead of rejecting his sovereignty. And so God blesses them. It's a promise. Now, when we become adults, our relationship with our parents change. Instead of being mainly of obedience, it becomes mainly one of honoring. It shifts from doing what our parents tell us to do to showing respect, honoring them, helping them when they're in need, So, and as adults, we come out from being under the authority of our parents, and we are directly submitting ourselves under Christ to God the Father. And this change comes about, this transition, because as adults, you know, we should know God. We should know God for ourselves, who He is, what He desires. As adults, we should be able to make decisions for our lives that's according to the will of God without our parents. Again, no longer submitting to Christ through our parents, no longer knowing God through these mediators, but we come to know God and Christ directly. We know and believe for ourselves in God and Christ. The faith of our parents, our grandparents, or whoever you may have had as spiritual guardians, their faith becomes our faith, my faith. But having faith, your own relationship, is not enough to being indulged. It's necessary, right? No longer knowing God through somebody, but knowing God directly in His Word, in prayer, in our relationship with Him. But that's not enough, just this relationship. As adults, in order to be an adult, we should also have wisdom, right? We need wisdom that's been forged in conformity to God. As I was thinking about image, gave me this image of being forged, being tempered by fire and hammered into shape, to be strengthened. We need wisdom that has to be forged in conformity to God so that we can make godly decisions apart from our parents. Now, we'll always be growing in wisdom. It's true. We'll always be growing in wisdom. But one thing that defines an adult is that we should have a degree of wisdom. You know, a certain degree. Not perfect, but a certain degree of wisdom. That's able to figure out and choose duty, responsibility, and the good of others over our own personal desires. Again, our submission to Christ is reflecting the character of Christ. As adults, we should be able to figure out what's my duty, what's my responsibility, what will result in the good of others, and choose that with a willing heart, with joy even. I notice that when you work with children, you tell them to do something because you know it's good, and they know it's good too. Usually they know it's good, but they're very complaining. They're very, you have to compel them. Like, aw, you know, why? You know, they're very reluctant. But part of the wisdom of adulthood, you recognize the goodness of it. And so you do it with willing and even a joyful heart. We gain this wisdom as an adult over years of learning about God and what He desires. Or we gain this wisdom over years of fighting our own sins and temptations. It gives me that, again, that imagery of being forged. Wisdom being forged in the daily hard work of surrendering yourself to God, forged in repentance, forged in the constant work, sometimes daily work, of apologizing to your brothers and sisters and asking for their forgiveness, or in confessing your sins to one another and asking for help to walk humbly before our God. It's forged in those moments we realize how much we hurt one another and we cry out God for His power, His help, His Spirit. Because we realize we can't change ourselves. It's the work of God. Forged. There's those moments. God, please help me. Give me wisdom to do Your will, to know Your will. As an adult, we should also be independent from our parents. So in being financially independent, we should no longer expect our parents to provide for us or do things for us because we're trusting God now. And we're trusting God because we see that everything that our parents provided for us as we were growing up, everything that our parents provided for us was actually from God. We recognize God as our Father. We have one Father who is in heaven, Jesus says. When we come to faith, we realize that the good provisions in our past was from God, so we can continue to trust and depend on Him. We should also be emotionally independent from our parents, not clingy or whiny, as we were when we're children, when we don't want to do something. I don't think, you know, you guys are like that. But I think most of you are emotionally attached to your parents in a different way. By thinking that you owe your parents. That you have to pay back your parents. I see this, this emotional bond that some of you have with towards your parents. Like you somehow you have to make a return for everything that they've done. Now, as adults, we do have a duty and responsibility to our parents. It's to honor them. We show them respect. We listen when they speak. We don't ignore them. We don't walk away from them. We speak with love and gentleness to them. And we help them as much as we can when they're in need. But it's not the purpose of our lives to pay them back. I don't know if you verbalize your sense of duty to your parents in this way. That you owe them. That the purpose of your life is to give back to them for everything they did for you. But I think a lot of us struggle with this feeling to some degree or another. We see how much our parents had to give up, sacrifice things, how much they had to pay to provide for us. And if your parents were immigrant parents, you've seen the struggles that they've had to face adjusting to a new culture. But if you feel like you owe your parents or that you have to pay them back for everything they've done for you, that's idolatry, right? That's ultimately idolatry. Right, you're overshadowing, you're eclipsing the grace of God with something that's lesser. Right, you're attributing to your parents what only God deserves, what God has done for you. We said earlier that as adults, we realized that it was actually God who had been providing for us. It was God who is our Father, not our parents. But everything that our parents provided was actually from God. All the good provisions in our past are actually from God. And to say that you owe your parents for everything is to belittle God. It actually redirects the glory from God to your parents. What is the proper relationship that we should have towards our parents? Now again, as I said, we do owe our parents respect and honor. But that's not the same as this idolatrous desire we have, a wanting to pay them back. The honor and respect we give them is acknowledging that they were faithful in their duty as parents. Right? They were faithful in using what God gave them for our good. They didn't neglect to feed us, to clothe us, to comfort us, to love us with what God had given them. So the respect and honor that we show our parents are like the middlemen, really. The intermediary of God's grace. As stewards of God's grace. God gave to our parents so they would give to us. So we honor our parents. We show them respect because they did this faithfully, right? Because they gave to us what God had intended. They did what God had intended. So ultimately, we're owing God. Not in the sense that we have to pay him back everything he gave us, because he doesn't need anything, and because that's actually insulting to him. But trusting him to continue to provide for us. And we're surrendering our lives to his will. Because we know that wherever he leads us will be better. By giving him all our hearts and souls and minds and strength. All our worship and devotion. So I kind of see that emotional attachment that's actually idolatrous and unhealthy in our relationship with our parents. But I think there's actually another idolatry that happens a lot among like it's more, you know, grown-up children. And it's thinking that we can guarantee our parents happiness and well-being. Or at least we put that responsibility on our shoulders. And I think that, you know, a reversal of that idolatry. Just in the same way that it's not ultimately our parents who provide for us, it isn't us who provide for our parents. But some of you put on your own shoulders the sole responsibility of taking care of your parents, for making them happy, to you know, give them a good life, quote unquote. But again, that's idolatry. You know, you're taking for yourself the right and the responsibility that is solely God's, right? It's God's responsibility to take care of your parents, just as it's, he's going to take care of you. And in that way, you make yourself God. And it's so twisted, right, this idolatry, the way we go about it. We think we're doing something good because we're thinking about someone else, right? I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing this for my parents. It sounds so humble. It sounds so generous. And sometimes we torture ourselves with anxiety or working really hard for our parents. It sounds like we're sacrificing so much because they sacrifice so much for us. But it's actually, again, arrogant, you know, self-centered at heart. Or we're depending on ourselves, right? We think we're able to do this. And we give ourselves all the credit when we do something for our parents instead of giving the glory to God. It's not our job to make our parents happy and content. It's not even in our ability to do so. And vice versa. It's not our parents' job to make us happy and content. It's their job to raise us up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So as adult children, we come out from being under the authority of our parents. We're no longer in obedience and submission to them, but we honor them. We show them respect. And in order to be an adult, we need these three things, which I'm summarizing what I talked about. Right? One, we need faith in Christ. We're no longer learning about God through our parents as an extension of his authority, but we come to know God and Christ for ourselves in his word, in our relationship with him directly. Two, we need wisdom that's conformed to the will of God, that's able to discern our duty, our responsibility, and choose what's best for others over our own desires with a willing heart. And that wisdom comes with years of knowing what God's will is, who God is in the Word, and fighting our own sins to do God's will. And three, we need to be independent from our parents, financially, emotionally, not chained to them with any kind of idolatrous notion of that we owe them or that we have to make them happy. So we talked about the relationship of young children to their parents, which is one of obedience. And we've talked about the relationship of adult children to their parents, which is one of honoring. These are expressions of how we submit to Christ. But you guys are neither children nor adults, right? You're not children or adults. You're in a transitional phase that's moving from childhood to adulthood. So there are going to be aspects of both in your lives. Some of you have experienced God, but you're still growing to know and trust in him. Some of you recognize the need for wisdom in your relationship with other people, but you also see that you don't have it yet. And finally, you're still dependent on your parents financially and or emotionally. God is still providing for you through your parents or through other intermediaries, maybe pastors. You know, maybe you know you're still not kind of have a strong enough relationship, and you're still depending on others to kind of mediate your relationship with God. So, because you're not fully grown as adults, you're still under your parents' authority, and you should continue in obedience to them. But as you grow in faith and wisdom in Christ, right, as you grow in knowledge of and obedience to Christ, there are going to be moments when your conscience will not be clear before Christ if you do what your parents want. Right, as you're growing in Christ, there are going to be moments when if you just did whatever your parents wanted you to do, you know, your heart is not going to be settled before God in your relationship with Him. As you grow in faith and obedience to Christ, there may be times when you must disobey your parents. As your faith grows in the revelation of Christ directly from the Word, the truth, instead of being mediated by your parents or someone else, you know, your own conscience is developing. You realize you're going to have to stand before Christ, right, on that day. You're going to have to stand before God. You're going to have to explain all you've done and said. And if you give an answer of, oh, my parents told me to do that, right, that's not going to, you know, that's not going to be acceptable. You're not going to be able to pass the blame on someone else when you're standing before God. You have to take responsibility for our words and our actions on that day, part of being an adult. So as you study the Word, as you come before God in prayer, and you're convicted by God to do something, do it. Even if your parents are telling you something else. If your parents' desires are going to hinder your primary pursuit of knowing, trusting, and obeying God more, respectfully disagree with them. Remember the respectful part. Don't just disagree with your parents. Respectfully disagree and stand firm. I think it's really easy for us to lose respect for our parents as we grow up. It's part of our pride. As we begin to figure things out, you know, for ourselves, we think we got it all right. We think we know the truth. And so we lose respect for our parents. But I also think it's because we see more the imperfections of our parents. You know, they're flawed people too. We lose that kind of admiration that we have or we used to have as children as we see them and their flaws. And it's easy for us to judge them as hypocrites. But that's not the will of God. Respectfully, humbly, but steadfastly disagree. If indeed, you know, you are sure that this is what God is speaking to you. I was really bad at that, you know, when I was growing up. I was very arrogant in my disagreements with my parents. So don't do as I did, right? Do as I say, right? As I'm preaching to you right now. Now, respectfully honor them. Respectfully disagree with them. So I'm not saying you should disagree with your parents all the time. That's not what this is going to look like. You know, as we transition from being under obedience to our parents to become submitting directly in our relationship with God through Christ, there are going to be moments where we're going to disagree. But it shouldn't be coming up all the time. It should not be filled with disagreements with your parents. If you find yourself disagreeing with them, often something might be wrong. You might be wrong, as I was often wrong. But a lot of the time, disagreements revolve around the few things that come up again and again, which are often related and are usually very important. Right? Disagreements usually revolve around the few things that come up again and again. They're usually related and they're usually important. Right? Like your career, which is related to your major, which is related to how much you study. So would your conscience be clear before God, right? Would your conscience be clear before God? You know, as you talk about how you spent your time in college, if your focus during this time was for your studies, for the sake of your careers, for the sake of money and financial security, whatever it may be, rather than growing in the Lord. Would your conscience be clear in the decisions that you are making? So as we grow in Christ, we may have to disobey our parents in order to do God's will, or, you know, disagreements are going to come up as we are transitioning into obedience to Christ. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us in ways that our parents may not have expected or have desired. As we transition to adulthood, we're taking the responsibility of our choices. But it doesn't happen all of a sudden, thankfully, right? It's not like we're thrown just out into the working world, all of a sudden told to take care of ourselves. Well, most of us, anyway. I knew someone, actually, her parents died in a car crash very suddenly. And she had a younger sister, and she didn't have extended family. She just started waitressing. It doesn't happen for most of us. But in college, we have this time to transition. I think it's a very helpful time where we begin to learn to think for ourselves according to the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're not just thinking for ourselves however we want, but according to the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And discipline and instruction here describes, you know, growing in faith in every way. We're growing as a Christian in every way. We're educated in our minds with the truth. Right, our hearts are being corrected, and even the actions, we're being trained in doing the will of God, of doing what is pleasing to God. It also includes correction, rebuke, when we fall short of the standard of God. So I think college is a helpful time for this transition where we can begin to think ourselves as we study the Word, as we grow in a community who hold to the Word. And I think it also helps the fact that we're not living with our parents for most of the year. So, you know, for the most part, I don't think there'll be a need to disobey your parents often. Right? Eat your vegetables. Patiently help your parents where they don't know how to use the computer. I always got so impatient with them. Right, shame on me. Don't do as I did, right? You know, call them up. Honor them in those ways. But in those things that God convicts you in His Word, by His Spirit, again and again, that's become very concrete in your mind that this is God's will for you, respectfully disagree and stand firm. Becoming an adult is not defined by external milestones. Becoming 21 does not make you an adult. Getting a job does not make you an adult. Even getting married does not make you an adult. There are many selfish, childish people who get married and quickly divorced. But according to our passage today, what defines us as an adult, right, in the Lord, is that we're living according to His discipline and instruction in our inward attitude and our outward actions conformed in His image. So how can we grow as adults? Well, the first application I want to give is make submission to Christ your first priority. Right? Make that your first thing, submitting and surrender to Christ. As we come out of submission to our parents in this transition, we have to learn to submit to Christ directly. And in order to do this, we got to know Him. We got to know His will. So we got to know His Word. We need to learn to listen to Him in prayer. And if He calls us to something that goes against our parents' desires, we need to disagree respectfully, disobey respectfully, and stand firm. sometimes standing firm is just as hard as disagreeing in the first place. Your parents may try to manipulate you or guilt trip you to get you to change your mind. But our obedience to Christ must come first, above our parents' desires, above our own desires. Right? It's not that we are disagreeing with our parents so we can do what we want. But our obedience to Christ comes before our own desires. Second, ask for wisdom. Don't be discouraged in those moments when you feel so frustrated because you don't know what's best. When you don't know what to do, that hinders me a lot. Hindered me a lot. But continually ask God for wisdom and wait for Him. Right? Don't be rash to make decisions on your own. But I think a big part of submission is learning to wait. Right? Wisdom is related to submitting to Christ. As we surrender our own desires to God, you know, we're going to do what's pleasing to God. That's wisdom. Right? Doing the will of God is the wisest thing that we can do with the benefit for all, with the greatest benefit for all. But often we're hindered by our own sins, our own selfish desires. We can't see God's will because we get in our own way. But to know God's will, again, got to go back to the Word, be conformed in our hearts to His truth. Third and last, honor your parents. Honor your parents rightly. Give them the respect that they deserve by recognizing their faithfulness in using what God provided for them for your good. Right? Recognizing their place. That's ultimately what God the Father has provided for our good. We don't idolize them, but we honor them as stewards in the will of God. Show them respect, love. Show them that you appreciate them. You can show them that you're thankful for them. You know, there's lots of ways that we can honor our parents. It's Mother's Day next Sunday. Right? Don't forget that. That's one way. But it's hard in those moments when we have to disagree and disobey our parents. Right? In those situations, you know, how we actually honor our parents, it depends. It's not going to be a straightforward one-size-fits-all thing. But how do you disagree respectfully? I still don't think I'm good at that. Right? That's why we need wisdom. How do I submit to Christ and honor my parents? It's not that these two things are in opposition. Right? They go beautifully together. As we're not doing our own desires, right? As we submit to Christ, we can honor others. We can love others. We can serve others. It's not that these two things are in opposition, but sometimes it's not clear because we're clouded by our own sinful desires or by our own parents' sinful desires. Again, they're not perfect. But even concerning them, entrust them to God, that God will help them to see. And it becomes really hard to respectfully disagree when your parents aren't Christian, right? When they don't believe. If you have parents who are not Christian, they're going to demand from us things that are not theirs to demand. They're going to expect from us things that they should not expect. It belongs to Christ, right? Our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength, our very lives, who bought us with a price. We have been redeemed. We have been bought back for Himself. Our parents are going to demand things that is not theirs to demand, which we have offered up to God. Our lives as a living sacrifice. But in those situations, disagreeing, disobeying respectfully is the best thing that we can do for them. In these situations where we can show them the reality of God and Christ in our lives. It's going to be painful for us. It tests our resolve to stand firm. They're going to think that we hate them. You're right, if anyone's going to follow Christ, your own parents, your own family may think that you hate them. But in those situations, right, our very lives is going to be a testimony. Right, our very lives is going to be a sign telling them there's something more, that there is a God. Our submission to Christ, the way we deal with them with wisdom, the way we honor them in the ways that we can and should honor them, even though we withhold them from them what belongs to God alone. You know, doing these things will be a testimony and a taste for them of something greater. All right, let's take some time to pray. I do want to encourage you. How are you in this, you know, transition to adulthood? You know, where is your relationship with your parents? Do you have trouble escaping from idolizing your parents? Or do you have trouble respecting your parents, honoring them? Are there things that God may be calling you to respectfully disagree with your parents? And I pray that God will continue to grow us as His children. Right? We belong to Him. That we will be molded in His image. So let's continue to ask God to help us to know His will and to do it. Let's pray.